Great to be able to come before you, and I pray you really speak to us this morning and speak of us of spiritual things and how we're to live in those spiritual things to see you do a mighty, mighty work. So we thank you in advance. Just anoint me with your Spirit that I can speak words of the Spirit. Open each heart to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, you can see the title of the message, Fight in the Spirit. Fight in the Spirit. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, 14 through 18. And it'd probably be good for you to turn there because we're going to spend all our time basically there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Let me read that. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been, kind of referring to how bizarre things are around us, just bizarre things happening. And I've made the point that, that this is a spiritual warfare and you fight in the Spirit without giving you any indication how to fight in the Spirit. Just says you need to do it, just do it. And so, when we look again, but just to rehearse a little bit, we look around, we know it's spiritual things. It's not just physical. There's spiritual things happening. And just before these verses, it says this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against... Now I'm going to pause it. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What do we wrestle against? It's not flesh and blood, but we think it is. I mean, you can see them. They irritate you, but he says, no, that's not it. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present age, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Now, since this is where the fight is, based on this, we need to be able to fight in the Spirit. Amen? Now, so we fight in the Spirit, and the Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Okay? So, wait a minute. I got to take care of this situation. Okay, fight in the Spirit. Fight in the Spirit, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do you see how we kind of have to adjust in this battle? We're just in this battle. And so, we don't, the question, well, how do you fight in the Spirit? And to help us understand how to fight in the Spirit, God gives us a physical picture. I love that. That's what a lot of the Old Testament is physical pictures so we can see what's spiritually happening. And so, to fight in the Spirit, God says, okay, I'm going to give you a physical picture so you can understand how to do this, meaning you don't know how to do it, but this is going to give you some understanding here. And it's interesting what God uses at the time. Back in Paul's time, during the Roman Empire, probably the greatest and largest empire the world has ever known, the Roman army was almost invincible. I mean, it was just wherever it went. And there's just a few times, they made mistakes, but it's practically invincible. And if you look at the whole world, how it moved and how it kept control, it's kind of amazing. Therefore, to show us how to fight in the Spirit, Paul uses the example of a Roman soldier. I mean, he was very aware. Everybody was aware, because they dominated the whole world. The invincible Roman soldier. And so, here he is. Now wait for him here. There he is. That's a Roman soldier. That's what they looked like. And again, they held a tight control over most of the world for centuries upon centuries, and they were present at the time of Christ. So what God does, now he's talking about fighting the spirit, he makes a correlation between the physical armor for battle and the spiritual armor for Christian battle. So he says, you can look at this guy, now I'm going to give you some spiritual applications, and then you can see what happens with this guy. Now see, like when you get in a crisis situation, you know, or a terrible situation, when you stand before him, God said, now you look like him. You go, well, no, I don't feel like him. People go, no, you do. You look just like him. See, now that's what God's saying to us. And like always in the scriptures, God is trying to tell us who we are. Believers trying to tell us. And our problem is we don't believe it. We just don't believe it, you know. And he says, no. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, well, guys, it's something in the scripture. Well, that's hard to do. So? I mean, he's telling us what to do. So here it is. So when God looks at us, and, you know, in a spiritual way, we go into the situation. This is how he sees us, right here. This is how God sees us. So let's, like, well, okay, how do we make application to that truth as God sees us? Now, again, this soldier, based on research, is the soldier Paul's talking about. This is the soldier. This is what he looks like. This is what he looks like. So, as we go through this section, I want us to, as we go through this section on the armor, I want you to imagine you are standing face to face with an evil foe, maybe one who wants to destroy you. By the way, if it's in the spirit and it's Satan behind this, evil spirits, they want to destroy you. They don't want to just cripple you. But no, they want to destroy. Absolute destruction is in his mind. The Bible says that. He said he's looking for someone, roaring like a lion, to destroy. And so you think, well, I don't know if this guy in front of me is that bad, but the spirit involved in this is that bad. You see what I'm saying? But we don't need to be afraid, and that's the whole point. You don't need to be afraid of this. If it's in the spirit, I'm going to tell you how to win in the spirit. And by the way, just to help us out, our general is Christ. Okay, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, who we're following is Christ in the spirit. And so he has the upper hand to do what he needs to do. But how do we cooperate with him? So just imagine yourself standing face to face with your foe, desiring to harm you. Desiring to harm you by compromise, moral issues, you know, all this nonsense going around us right now, the anti-Christian, you know, theology. It's like, no, that's an attack on us. That's an attack on the church. Okay, so this is the armor necessary for us to survive. Amen? Okay, so this is what you put on in this situation. All right, we're going to go through that, and I'm just going to cover that one section of Scripture, and the only overhead you're going to have is this guy, so you can look up at him, this Roman soldier. Okay, the first thing we have in that Ephesians here, it says this, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Stand, okay, stand, and having fastened on the belt of truth. You've got to put the belt of truth on. Now, the soldier wore a loose tunic. Roman soldier about mid-calf, you know, maybe a little, I mean, not calf, mid-thigh. Like that. It's just a loose tunic he wore. And then the first item necessary for battle was to put a belt on. He put this belt on, and it pulled up the tunic so it's not flopping all around, you know. It's like when you get up in the morning and you step on your pajamas and fall on the floor or whatever. He pulls this up. He's ready to fight, okay? He pulls this belt around his waist. Then the other thing that happens about this, and these are facts. These aren't made-up things. You can look them up. He would put on the breastplate. He'd put on a breastplate, and the breastplate hooked in to the belt. So you couldn't have a breastplate just like it's hooked into the belt. And then also you had a sword and you had a scabbard, you know, for the sword. Scabbard hooked onto the belt. So you can see it was important to have that on to get the rest of the information together. So the people who Paul was talking about knew that. He didn't have to explain it. They knew that because they had Romans all over the place. I mean, every place Paul preached was dominated by Romans at that time. Now, for Christians, the spiritual application is called the belt of what? Truth. You have to pull this tune up and you're ready for what? The truth. The truth. And the belt of truth. Now, this is not truth as the world calls truth. In the biblical sense, the truth is what Jesus calls truth. And so the foundation of all truth is Jesus, right? So you have wrapped around you the truth, which is Jesus. All truth flows from him. So when you get in this situation, you're facing the opposite. First thing you put on your belt, the truth that you have. You know Jesus, and you know the truth comes from him. And it doesn't make any difference what they say. Because you got the belt of truth around you. And that's why I call it the belt of truth. It's foundational. So you stand up, and Jesus said, being the truth, he goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Victory comes through Christ. Okay, we got this thing. You're being approached with all these lies and stuff, and you put on the belt, boom. I mean, let's make it, you know, real time. You step up, and you're approached with all these lies. What's the first thing you do? Put on your belt, truth. You're ready. Why? Because truth comes from, I don't care what they're saying, the truth comes from Christ. And so that's how we stand. First thing, you know, somebody comes at us saying all of a sudden, oh my God, what have we got? No, just stand there, pull in the belt, truth. Every truth comes from Christ. And just stand there. Amen? First thing, belt of truth. Jesus is the truth. See, he's not saying, put on the belt, you need to go home and take a Bible study, and you need to read the scriptures through. That's a good thing, all those things. But it's, no, right then, you just put on the belt. Jesus is the truth, and you're standing there in truth. Amen? That's what he's talking about. And that's how does he start it? Stand firm. Put on the belt of truth. Just stand there. We got this. We got the victory. Okay, the second thing says put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the soldier would have a metal breastplate, and they put this breastplate on over them. I think you've seen pictures of them like that. And it connect to their belt. And this breastplate was some kind, sometimes they called it this. That's amazing. Heart protector. That's what the soldiers called it. It's the heart protector. See, now, this guy didn't have a breastplate on. However, the ones who had a lot of money and the generals had the money, what they did, they put a metal mesh over that would come down their arm that served the same thing, but it was more expensive. Okay, so not all the soldiers had that. Most of them had a bronze breastplate. So this guy, he came from a rich soldier. He had a rich general, okay, because they did have metal, but still metal, and it's still, the belt pulls around that metal to hold it in place. Okay, so that's the only picture I had. I couldn't find another one. All right, so, but it's the same thing. It's a heart protector. The sword comes to you, and it hits you in the heart. It hits the breastplate. It's the heart protector. Heart protector. So, now, as Christians in these battles, our Christian character and integrity will be attacked. And, you know, people find something wrong with us because we're human, you know, and you know, if they got your whole life, they can just make up something. And, of course, nowadays, that's what we see, is people just make up stuff, you know. And so what we need is a heart protector. And what our breastplate is, it's a breastplate of what? Righteousness. What does righteousness mean? You're right. Okay? We're right. Not only are we right, okay, where is right is God. Where's right is God. You know, Wallace, you did this, and that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I didn't do that. But I have a breastplate of righteousness that is given free. I just have it free. And the righteousness is God's righteousness. See, I'm not standing there with Wallace's righteousness. I'm standing with God's righteousness. That belt, the truth, that's not Wallace's belt. That's God's belt. See, it's Jesus' belt. And so the righteousness standing there is Jesus' righteousness he gave to me. So it's my heart protector. I don't care what they say about me. Well, that's true. But through Christ, I'm cleansed. I'm as right as God. See? So you stand. Your heart protector. Again, you're in the battle, the meeting. You did this. Boom, boom, boom. Truth. This is all about Jesus. I'm saying, he is the truth. And attacked here. I have God's righteousness. Whatever you say about me, doesn't make any difference. Amen? See? So that we're prepared in those battles for the attacks. And even if people make stuff up. You see? So you can stand there. And so, and again, what's the scripture say? Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that we would be righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin so we would be as right as God. So we stand. We got the truth. See, now we got the breastplate. We're as right as God. Amen? So, we are therefore empowered to stand blameless before him and for him. See, people try to carry bad messages and, you know, make lies up and destroy people, you know. And it's like, you did this, you did this. You go, yeah, that's it, you know. If I didn't, I probably thought. But we're standing strong, our hearts protected, because Jesus gave us the righteousness and we stand strong before him no matter what we did. Amen. See, it's all about us with our armor in the situation. So these people are coming and they're having no effect on us. Amen? That's the armor. And again, we're talking about a spiritual fight. Now see, and that's important to know, because when I get into conflict or something, I would rather do what this guy's doing physically. You know what I mean? I just like to whack him overhead with my sword. I'd feel better. And it's like, let God take care of the spiritual stuff. I'm going to hammer this guy. Okay? So, but, you know, it's like, no. That doesn't help. That's going to backfire on you every single time. Okay, so there we got. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, heart protector. Number three, then it says, put on shoes for your feet, having the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, a Jewish historian, this is really fascinating, Jewish historian Josephus, and which is a fascinating guy, he was alive at the time of Christ. He was at the live time at the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. He was actually there, and he writes all about this stuff. And he said that one of the reasons for the success of Julius Caesar and the Romans were the shoes they had. That was one. He even said Alexander the Great, when he went across and conquered all that area, it says one of the reasons they could do it was because of the shoes they had. And what they were shoes, but what they were protruded down where they were nails. They were nails. They were real sharp nails. So they, when they put their shoes on, they were footed with, you know, it's like football cleats, okay? That's what they had. That's how they marched in. That's what they moved. I think they're a little bit more wicked than football cleats. And so, but he said what happened with these shoes, they could go on long marches with incredible speed over rough terrain. They fit well, they worked well, didn't make any difference what the terrain was. I mean, they could get it, and they were all in good shape. They'd run, they could go in long distances. But incredible speed. They weren't stumbling around. And so Paul says, put the shoes on. For the Christian, what this is firm footing. Is this firm footing? You know, you're sitting there. I mean, any of you played football or contact sports like that, you get down, you dig your cleats in. There's only one way to go, you know. And you're firm footing. You dig in firm footing, you know. And so this is what these guys, they had firm footing going forward, and they were made to go forward. So it's a firm footing and the readiness to go at a moment's notice in rough encounters. See? So the Christian, we have firm footing and readiness to go in a moment's notice in rough encounters. Now see, that's important, you know, because these people in front of us are rough encounters. They're equipped, too. They're equipped, too. But it said, no, we don't have to worry about this. And in these rough, these shoes, and what is the message? Firm foundation. But what is the message? What's the spiritual? What's the spiritual word attached to these shoes? Gospel of peace. Firm foundation, not moving, right there. What? The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for my sins, and I am forgiven. That's what we share. That's the first thing. We're ready, immediately, no matter what the situation, we share that. We look at spiritual warfare. That's how you, in a battlefield sense, that's how you win the war. You share the gospel. Well, what about this issue? What about that issue? What about this issue? What about, you know, who said this? And you go, no. The message, the ready is to share the gospel. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave my sin. We're reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. We start there. That's the firm foundation in which we go forward with. Amen? We got the armor. You see the armor? Now, he's telling us this. Now, again, this guy in the physical did his job. But he's saying, if you do this in the spiritual, you'll do a better job than this guy. You know, because remember, Jesus is working in the spiritual, too. Working in the spiritual. All right, so there we got this. That's kind of amazing. Now, so we're ready to share. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the scripture also says, I think this is fascinating, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet. You know, because they go and they spread the gospel. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. That's the good news. That's the good news. So hallelujah. Okay, number four. Now we can't see this guy's feet, but you can look it up. They have feet. Number four. In all circumstances. Now, that's an interesting way to start this verse, isn't it? In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Oh, my. I mean, can't you just feel this one? Take up the shield of faith. Why? Extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I mean, I can tell you, everybody said, don't you just feel that way? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. I was watching a documentary, and it was actually on Greece. But anyway, the Persians were fighting Greece, and the king of Persia says, I'm going to make their, and so they're holding, the Greeks are holding off the Persians, and the guy says, I'm going to blot out the sun with the arrows I fire in the air after you. Can you imagine that? You're sitting there and there's so many arrows coming over, it blots out the sun. So, but this is what this is talking about. Now, Satan's purpose is to hurt us. Satan's purpose is hurt, and it's spiritual. And sometimes, you know, I think, God, I think, you know, he just blotted out the sun with the arrows he's shooting at me. Now, I whine a lot, but, you know, that's what it feels like, okay? So here we have, and that's the reason he starts this off, in all circumstances, what? Take up the shield of faith in which you extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, what these shields were made of two layers of wood. They were made of wood. And then they covered them with linen and hides. So you got two layers of wood, and they had linen and hides. And these things weren't little shields. They were like this guy's. You know, they're up chest high shields. You know, and it's like they had, you know, it's funny to watch if you ever watched any of these old Roman, you know, battles. They'd come up to somebody, and then they'd go, okay, we're ready. And they'd just close ranks, just ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. And you couldn't see anything but the shields. And then the ones behind them would flip up and throw it over top. You see, I mean, they were really well trained. So there were high shields like this, all right? And so they're made of wood and linen and hide strapped around them. Then they had two bronze or steel rims around that to hold everything in place. And so what happened, while they had them, the arrows were often dipped in tar and ignited, and they shot, so there'd be fiery arrows. What they would do, they'd hold up and it'd hit the shield. It would stick in through the hide, and in through the linen, and into the wood, and put the flame out. That's why they made them like that. It put the flame out. They didn't have steel. They would just deflect them, but you're deflecting off fiery arrows off into everybody else. They would hold them up, and he'd go into the shield and put the fire out. And that's what it says here. He says here in the overlook, he says, they will extinguish the flaming darts. That's what it means. They stick in the shield and extinguish the dart. I was reading about this one guy, a Roman, and they were attacking the city, and after the battle was over, he had 220 arrows stuck in his shield. 220 arrows. And so here's a picture. This is Paul, you know. And by the way, people knew this. We don't know it. They knew it at the time. They understood this fully. So the shield that's talking about here not only deflects the arrow, but it quenches the flame when it hits the shield. Isn't that amazing? Now, for a Christian, our faith, now what's our faith? God told us something, we believe it, act on it. That's what our faith is. We've been told something. Now this guy or gal is telling us that God didn't tell us the truth, or disagree, or whatever. But our faith is, no, this is what God told me, and I'm standing behind that and that. Oh, that's your shield. See, that's our shield. And it said, for a Christian, our faith serves as our shield, as with the faith of Abraham. When called, he went. He didn't go. When called, he went. See? So we have that faith. God has shown us something. And by hearing God and doing what he says, Satan's flaming missiles are deflected and the flame is quenched so it doesn't spread. Now think about that. They come at us. I mean, how many of us, and this really struck me, and it's like when you come at the steel shield, boom, it just reflects off me and hits Carlos in the chest. You know? It's like, no. You just have to boom, and it sticks, and the flame goes out. If it's a steel, the fire hits that bloom and sets fire over there. See, I mean, it's brilliant when you think about it. And Paul said, no, this is what your faith does. When you stand strong, it sticks, whatever the attack is, it sticks with you, and it doesn't deflect and go someplace else because you stopped it. Isn't that amazing? Says, you know, so some Christians unknowingly participate in the spreading of Satan's flame. No, it sticks here, it goes out, we stand, and it's the end of the process. And he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. See, so what God told you and what you believe, you stand there, boom, and you put out Satan's missile. What did we do? We believe what he told us, and we stood there. His, you know, flames are going out. They're coming, but they're going out. They're hitting the shield. Amen? And what's a shield? Our faith. We're not moving. Now, you see how all this kind of pulling together. Now, again, what's he telling us? Something we don't know. This is how you fight in the Spirit. Again, just being honest. I personally would rather do what this guy's doing. You know, I'd just like to see some carnage around me, you know. Just like, I mean, just like, come on. No, that's not the way it works. And it's just showing your reliance on the physical and not trusting me in the spiritual. And you really don't believe I will do anything. Really, do you? Not really, God. I was just joking. I do. Now, your actions are proving something else to me. Now, okay, so here we are. So got the shield. Isn't that kind of incredible about the shield? So you got to take hold of the shield. It's your faith. Now here we have number 5. take up the helmet of salvation. So you can see this guy's helmet. And that's kind of, you know, they had bearing kind of helmet. But you can see that helmet. It's a metal helmet, and it's padded inside or something. And, of course, what it's doing, these metal helmets protected one from receiving a fatal head wound. That's pretty obvious, you know. You hit something, it's going to glance off your head and something like that, arrows, anything. It won't give you fatal head wounds. That's the reason you have a helmet. That's the reason you have a helmet. Now, for a Christian, our helmet is our salvation, which ensures eternal security. Because, well, it's a helmet of salvation. What protects us from a fatal head wound? Our salvation, our eternal security. They're not going to be able to destroy us by giving a fatal head wound. We take on the helmet of salvation and put it on. And our salvation is now, but it's for eternity. Eternally secure, we stand in the presence of God and we are fearless. We are fearless. Why? Because nothing can hurt us. Nothing can hurt us. We got our heart protector on, but the fatal blow of the head, the salvation, we stand fearless. And being fearless, but also we're fearless for eternity. We have eternal security. It's not even our home. This is not our home. We're looking for a heavenly home. People can't hurt us. I just hate you so much, I'm going to send you to heaven. Have at it, man. You know, it's kind of encouraging. But you see what I'm saying? It's a helmet of salvation. But it's like we need to believe it, and we stand fearless in it because we really believe it. Now, I'll go back to the Apostle Paul. Now, he's the only person I know in the Scripture that actually went to heaven and came back. Okay? He went up to the third heaven, and he said, I saw stuff I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what I saw. And I think the reason God did that, because he told Paul, when he called Paul, he said, okay, tell him how much he's going to have to suffer for me. You know, I think that's what he told me. He said, Wallace, you want to peek into heaven? I go, no, that's all right. Hold off. You know, that's okay, you know. Because with that comes greater responsibility. And it's like, so Paul was so motivated by what he saw, but God gave that to him because in the physical, he had to suffer incredibly. So he gave him a peek. He's the only one I know of. Now, and so what Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You're secure. We're going to kill you. That's what I'm saying. But you talk about in the Spirit, and seeing things in the Spirit and having to shrink in the Spirit. It's a believing that and standing in that. This is the armor we stand with when people oppose us. This opposes us. Amen? Okay, number six. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the soldier had a short sword, two-edged sword for close combat. I'm going to use the thing for close combat. It's about that size. How close are you going to have to be to somebody to stick them with that thing? I mean, you're close enough for them to stick you with something. I mean, you're chest to chest. And you have that sword. You have that sword. And so the picture is, it's a sword. And by the way, this is the only piece of the armor that's offensive. In offense, not offensive, but you use an offense. This is the only one. It's the sword of the Spirit. So now not only is this guy's irritating us, we're nose to nose, and I can smell his bad breath, and it's like, okay, this is where the battle is. That's what he's talking about. Oh, I'm going to theologically make a presentation and we'll philosophically. No. You smell his bad breath. You know, I mean, it's that kind of mouth. And you have this sword because this sword was sharp on both sides and had a sharp point. And you could do a lot of damage. But to do a lot of damage, you had to get close. You said, I'm not going there. They're just too much to handle. Well, now you need to be close. Don't worry about that. That's when I work. You need to be close. I'd rather go to seminar and have somebody talk about it. No. You need to be close with the opponent. Close to the opponent. Now, so for a Christian, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, okay, now this is the offense. Okay, where's the offense? It's the Word of God. But they're saying, this says, and they proof, and this thing, and all this. When we go back, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. This is what we just got that sharp knife, and they're, you know, breathing their bad breath all over us, and this is what the Word of God said. This is what the, you know, sharp point, cut both ways, pump, 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 pump. That's the engagement. It's with the Word of God. Now I'm going to share something about this, which is interesting. But it's, again, to read how that reads, the sword of the Spirit, okay? It's not a steel. It's the sword of the Spirit, for the Spirit to interact and make the point of the argument to have success. It's of the Spirit. The sword is the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it ties the two close together. Amen? Now, here, this is fascinating to me. Now, we talk about the Bible, the Word of God, and typically that is logos, anyway. But that's the whole Scripture. This is the logos. I have a Bible software, and it's called Logos. It's a whole thing, logos, all right? And so when you see in the Bible, say the Word of God, it usually means logos, all right? The whole Word. This is what the Word says. That's not the word it uses here. The word it uses here is rhema. Rhema. It is spelled R-H-E-M-A. Rhema. It's a Greek word. Rhema. And you know what that means? A specific word. A specific word. So this is a specific word of God. The sword of the Spirit is a specific word of God. I'm fighting this guy and he's got bad breath. Excuse me for using that. I just think it's so picturesque. You're fighting this guy with bad breath on him, and I'm going to read him Genesis to Revelations. You know, I have Ephesians memorized. So, no, this is a specific word. So what you are in this battle, and you're fighting, and you have all this stuff, and you're up close, your shield of faith, and you're, it is a specific word of God. See, I think if I was fighting with my short sword, you know, I'd just be just running around screaming, hollering like that. He goes, yeah, no. There's a spot. Hit that spot. You know, hit this spot. Boom. Hit that spot. Boom. It's a specific word of God. It's rhema word of God. It's not logos word of God. It's a big difference. Unfortunately, English just has two translations. Okay? Word. So it's used for both of them. So what you're going to have in this battle, and you will experience this, I promise you, if you hadn't already experienced this, come in. All of a sudden, it will come to mind something that you will share. Specific. It's a specific. See, like that. And they're coming at you with multitude of facts, blah, blah, blah. And then you will say, it's a specific. Now, I found out something else in my personal experience. When God speaks specifically, like that, to me, anyway, it's really short. Really, I mean, he's not very verbose. I mean, except when he wrote the Bible, I mean, he kind of got out of character there. But when he speaks to me, it's really short, and really penetrating. And I shared this before. I won't share the circumstances around it, but anything. I was really complaining to God. I was actually here in the sanctuary, walking around midnight, something, just talking to God, just all sorts of stuff. And I'm saying, God, I don't understand. So, dude, what do you want me to do? Like that. And God spoke. He really did. It was almost audible, but it wasn't audible. And he said this. I just processed this in my anxiety. He goes, who do you love? Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. Situation? The person? Or me? When Isaac sacrificed his son, he got up like he goes, now I know you love me. See? But you see what I'm saying? It's just one word. I mean, so a lot of people say, I'm going to take a pencil and paper if God speaks to me. You ain't going to remember it. Yeah. You are. See? Because that's what he does. He speaks. And when you're in a situation, you'll find sometimes you'll share a verse or you'll share a thought. And a lot of times you'll walk away and say, that's pretty good. I mean, that was an interesting word. You know, and it's like, I usually don't say that, and I usually don't think about that, but that was a pretty good word. That's a pretty good answer. You know, God gave you a rhema. He gave you a rhema. Okay, now we're assuming you're reading the Logos other times, but in the battle, you need a rhema. God, give me a word. You're in a big situation, something with the kids, something that's going, God, give me a word. Give me a word. And people say, well, he didn't give me a word. You know what you do in that situation? Don't say anything, good God. Right? If he doesn't give you a word, don't say anything. But be ready. We know the general word, but then he will bring a word to mind. It'll sound like your thought, come out like your word, but it's not. And you will share it, and it's a rhema from God. And how one way you will know it, you'll step back and say, that's not how I usually think. That's not what I usually say. But it sounded like me, you know? I mean, you see what I'm saying? That's a rhema. But this is what this is. Now, this is how you fight in the spirit. God, the truth of Jesus, my heart protector, the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, sword. I've got to give me a word. See? But see, in every battle, I mean, I don't think you have to go through the whole list, but in every battle, that's what you need to do. All right, this is going to be tough stuff, and I didn't get in here. Okay, it's me and you, Jesus. I got the belt on. Heart protector, you're saying I'm all right. They don't think I'm all right. Oh, dear God. And then you have your shield. I know what you told me. I'm going to stand fast on that. All the arrows come. And I know I'm eternally secure with you. All right, God. Now give me a word. So he's telling us how to do this. Fight in the spirit. It's in the spirit. Now, I don't mean this as a criticism. I mean it as an observation. And I'm more guilty than anyone else. You see Christians standing up for their beliefs, and a lot of times they look more like this guy than Jesus, you know? And I don't blame them for looking for this guy, because when they're looking like this guy, I'm rooting for them. I'm like, get in there and get them. And you're disobedient, but get them. I'm just fun watching, you know? So. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but we want to look like this guy. Right here. And God, no. In the spirit. This is what you do in the spirit. Amen? Now, this means we have to pause. Here, it's quick. Somebody's jumping up and breathing their bad breath on you immediately, you know? And it's like, it just quit pop the nose with just, you know, no, you can't do that. He jumps up immediately, blowing his bad breath on you. You go, okay, wait a minute. Got the true thumb, breastplate, heart protector. Okay, got the shield of faith on, helmet. So, God, give me a word. See? You see what I'm saying? He's telling us what to do. He's telling us what to do here. And again, the only offensive weapon is the sword. All the rest of it is protect us because they're making attacks on us, who we are as people. But before Jesus, we know who we are, and we're standing steadfast, and we got this sword. Okay? Now, I'll give you a couple examples here. So the Christian, this is in our up-close battle, the Holy Spirit will give us a specific word for our situation. You hear me? A specific word for our situation. And I'm not driving that. You're having to find, I'm going to quote Genesis to Revelation to you. Ha! No, he don't give you a specific word from the Holy Spirit. And it's going to come, and it's going to fit, and it's just going to flow off your tongue. See? Now, you may have to do a check what flows off your tongue. Like, here's what God said. Can I call him an idiot first? No, that's not my tongue. That's you. Okay, listen to me, and you're going to know because I'm doing my work there. I'm doing that work there. Okay, and so what we have here is that, and listen what Jesus said to his disciples before he left. Now listen, just what we said about the sword of the Spirit. Listen to what he said to his disciples before he left. He says to his disciples, and when they bring you to trial, see, when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. We said. I mean, that's what he said. And that also, I got to go face these people. I got to memorize this scripture. I got to do this. I got to have all this information ready. That's not what he's talking about. He's going to give it to you in that hour. You have to be there to get it. Amen? You have to be there to get it. But how do I know? You don't. The Holy Spirit knows. And he is going to give you a rhema. Amen? Now, so we have, well, let's go to number 7. Now, number 7 is tied to number 6. It's tied to the sword of the Spirit. I mean, the two, I don't know how you differentiate, but they're all tied together. So, but what it says in number 7, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Ooh, what does that mean? You know, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to play, turn on a little Christian music, you know, and kind of get in the mood. And if I have a, you know, a little portable fog machine so I can kind of get the fog going, and, you know, and just like and trying to get in the Spirit, you know, praying. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He's talking about receiving a rhema. He's talking about receiving a rhema. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for a rhema. Because he just said that. So the Spirit is the rhema of God. Now he says, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the rhema of God. What does that mean? God will give you something to pray about. Now we go and we have our laundry list, you know. But I quit doing that. Because, you know, I get out, you know, I have a list, and I go through the first 5, and I go, and God, you know what's on the rest of the list. Ah, jeez. You know, I've said it last week. I don't need to say it again. You know what's there. And, you know. And so, now I'm not saying you shouldn't pray like that. I mean, you shouldn't pray like I pray. But you should pray in whatever list you have, you know. Keep. But that's not what this is talking about. He's talking, and the Lord will tell you what to pray. The Lord will tell you what to pray. Give me a rhema. And so I know how to pray. What are you praying for? You're taking that rhema word and turning it back and putting it before the throne. You know, with the sword, we stuck this guy with the rhema. You know, and I mean, it's a nice rhema, wasn't a bad rhema. We stuck this guy. But he said, now, not just this, you're taking that word to God and asking God to intervene with that rhema. And he can do more with that guy than your sword can. But he's telling you. That means he's telling us what to pray. Pray with a rhema in context, because what that just said. You see what I'm saying? With the rhema. And so it's like, God, show me what to pray. Now, how does that come about? You hear a voice from heaven, thunder, lightning. No, it comes as your own thought. It's like you think everything else, and you can't tell if it's your thought or God's thought. But it's just a thought that comes to your mind, you know, and you think, well, I need to pray about that. Well, I wouldn't even think about that, but I need to pray about that because God told you what to pray. Amen? That's what it's saying. Now, this is important because, you know, I really, for the past couple of weeks, I've been telling you, it's in the Spirit, it's in the Spirit, fight in the Spirit. Yeah, wait, you don't have a clue what to do, you know. But this is what it means. This is what it means to fight in the Spirit. God will give you a word. What are the chances, if God gives you a word to pray and you pray it, that he'll do it? What are the chances? 100%. Because he just told you. I said, me and you on the same page. You do that. How many of you, now Linda does this. Doesn't happen often to me. She does this all the time. Just many things she does that I don't understand. Okay? But she'll go, you need to call so-and-so. Why? You know, you just need to call him. Well, okay, I'll call him up. Oh, Wallace, I'm so thankful that you called. You wouldn't believe what's happening. And they share their heart with me. He says, why'd you call? I said, I was just, Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I just laid. Yeah, but just like, I mean, it happens all the time, you know. I mean, I think, you know, God goes, well, tell Wallace. Now, just tell Linda. He'll tell him. You know, she'll tell him. And it's just like, it ain't doing good to tell him. He's not going to do it. But when she tells him, he'll do it, you know, so like that. So, she, but it's, you know, but I'm sure those things like you have. I just feel like I should call so-and-so. Well, why is that? You're praying in the Spirit. Well, you what God told you to pray. Amen? Now, this is how it works. This is the Spirit, how it works. Can you see, and this is, I was really convicted, can you see how frustrating the last two messages that I gave you could be when I say it's in the Spirit, you got to take care of it in the Spirit. I just leave it there. See? Okay, it's in the Spirit. You got it. I got it. I don't know. But see, that's a fresh. But this is, no, this is what it means by how you fight it in the Spirit. This is what it means. And this is why when somebody comes at you, it's like, how do I fight this in the Spirit? These guys are crazy or whatever. It's the same way. Same way. Same way. And again, God is the one who's moving on our behalf. See, he said, if you do this and come, I say, then I will move on your behalf. If you go in like this guy in the physical, I'm not going to move on your behalf. You just got to, you know, what happens? How? I'm not going to move on your behalf because you move like that guy did in the physical. But if you move like that guy in the spiritual, then I will move into the situation and then I will take care of it. And we became an avenue for God to work in the situation. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. God, pray. I've heard people talk. I've said this. I'm going a little long here, but I think it's important whether there's a spirit or not. But, you know, people say, gosh, I start to pray, and then this stuff comes in my mind, and I'm going to write it down. Say, take a pad of paper, and you can write it down. Then you continue your prayers and, you know, write down all this stuff comes in your mind. I thought, oh, that sounds good. Then all of a sudden, I realized, no, all that stuff that's coming in your mind, God's telling you to pray about it. Don't write it down. Pray about it. That's why it came into your mind. He says, I just try to pray, but I'm just cluttered with all this nonsense God's telling me. No, you wouldn't say it, but that's what you're doing. You see what I'm saying? So it's really powerful. So God's working, so he's telling us how to get on board and do these things, and do these things. Now just listen to these scriptures, and these scriptures start making more sense. And so, we, you know, in our warfare, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what we need to pray. In the worst of combat, the Holy Spirit will pray on our behalf himself. I mean, that's good, but no, when it gets bad, he says, okay, you're just too slow. He'll pray in our place. He'll pray in our place. See, it just shows the position we are. Listen to this. The scripture says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It just, I don't have enough time to talk to you about it. Just hang in there, you know. I'll just pray for you. I'm just going to pray for you. See? I mean, hallelujah. See, and this one. Don't be afraid of what's happening because the battle is in the Spirit and God's just telling us how to go into that. Don't be confused by all the stuff going on. Just look in the heavens and knowing God's putting things in order. Now, I'm going to say something that's like, I think a lot of Christian activity, a lot of their prayer is like running around on the Titanic rearranging the chairs. That's what they're doing. It hit that house where he was thinking, well, let's get a row here and a row here and a row here, you know. And no, you know, what is God telling you to do? Put on the armor, move forward. So, okay, God, what do I need to do here? Amen? Powerful. It really is powerful. So here we are. Fight in the Spirit. Put on this armor. And we will be able to deal with anything that's thrown at us with the confidence that Jesus is working on our behalf. See, we've got to connect. We've got to connect. For the Christian battle is the Lord's. How many times have you read that? The battle is the Lord's. And then we go put on his physical armor and just lay him out. You know? And God just, geez. No, it really is the Lord's. That means you just get engaged with and see the Lord work. But you got to put on the armor. Amen? So here it is. As my good buddy Bill Wright would say, now you're accountable. Amen? This is what it says. Okay, we'll just end it with this. And we know where to start. Look at first. I even have an overhead for this, and we'll get off this guy. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anything else happened, God will tell me. Right? Well, you know, that's the Apostle Paul. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where we stand. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Fight in the Spirit. We know how now, but you got to do it. Got to do it. Remember, Jesus is the general working the thing. He's going to bring it about. But this is what we have to do to cooperate with him in what he's doing and not working against him. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And thank you for what you tell us. And Lord, I mean, this is amazing. And that you would just give us such a layout. And Lord, too, I know, I'm sure people here know, and, you know, I think, well, I can't see this immediately, and so I'm so want to take it in my own hands and do so much. And Lord, just like, no, part of the faith is, Wallace, what did I tell you? Now stand in that. What did I tell you? Now stand. Let me work now. Let me work. So there's a good picture here. So God, I pray each person that you would speak to their heart and put a gold nugget within their heart is something that applies to them, that encourages them to step forward and be the powerhouse you intend them to be. And then just, you know, we truly are, you know, in your army. And we truly do thank you for our salvation. We truly do thank you that you're working in our lives. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.